By 2026, $23 trillion will completely abandon traditional stock and bond markets. Welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's just a staggering amount of capital moving all at once.
Right. We are looking at a massive structural migration of wealth. It's driven by a macroeconomic landscape that is effectively rewriting the rules of portfolio management right now in 2025.
Exactly. And we're grounding our discussion today in a really thorough analysis titled Balancing Portfolios, Traditional versus Alternative Investment Strategies.
And the mission here is to help you, the listener, cut through all the financial jargon. We want to figure out exactly how these two asset classes work, you know, why the economic rules are shifting so fast right now.
And crucially, how you can actually blend them to protect and grow your portfolio.
But to start, we really have to look at that staggering statistic from the source data right from the jump. $23 trillion in global alternative investment assets under management projected by next year.
Yeah, it's huge.
Okay, let's unpack this because that is not a typo. The word trillion is correct. That is a seismic reallocation of global liquidity away from the public markets we all know so well.
What's fascinating here is that this massive number represents a fundamental shift away from the norm of how our parents used to invest.
Right. The whole buy some blue chip stocks and hold them forever strategy.
Exactly. For decades, the structural norm for the average investor was highly standardized. Capital flowed almost exclusively into publicly traded equities and government or corporate bonds.
That was basically the boundary of the accessible universe for most people.
It was. But a $23 trillion projection tells us that institutional and retail capital alike are being systematically forced into new territories. It isn't just a speculative trend.
No, it's a structural necessity driven by changing economic rules. And to understand why all that money is moving into alternatives, we first need to clearly define the two sides of the investment world, right?
Yes, we need to map out the mechanical differences.
And the source uses a really vivid analogy to help you visualize this. On one side, you have traditional investments, your publicly traded stocks for growth, government and corporate bonds for stability, broad market ETFs, cash products.
The standard toolkit.
Yeah, the text likens this to a Toyota sedan. Reliable, predictable, highly liquid, but, you know, not very exciting. It's basically what your mom drives.
Right. It gets you from A to B safely.
Exactly. And on the other side, you have alternative investments. Real estate, private equity, infrastructure, hedge funds, art, cryptocurrency. And that is the flashy sports car. Higher potential returns, a lot more excitement, but with significant trade-offs.
And it's really important to expand on the why behind that analogy. The Toyota sedan is simple and transparent because it exists in highly regulated public markets.
Meaning you can see the pricing every second of the day.
Precisely. You know exactly what a tech ETF is worth at any given millisecond, and you can sell it with zero friction. It's visible.
It's driving on the public highway system.
Yes. But the sports car, the alternative investments, that's completely different. It's private or opaque. It requires a much more hands-on approach.
You have to do deeper research.
A lot deeper research. And you need the patience to have your money tied up for much longer. Because you aren't on the public highway anymore, you are operating on a private track where pricing isn't updated second by second.
Which brings us to the 2025 reality check. Because if the Toyota is so reliable, why is everyone suddenly looking at the sports car?
Well, because the macroeconomic roads in 2025 have become incredibly bumpy.
Yeah, the source gives some crucial context here. Central banks have aggressively paused their rate cuts, and we are dealing with stubbornly high inflation and this massive cost of living crisis.
And that environment severely pressures traditional assets, particularly fixed income global bonds.
The bond yields are suffering, which makes traditional market returns look pretty unimpressive. But let me push back on the conventional wisdom here for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
Wait, if bonds are supposed to be our foundational stable income, why are they suddenly the problem when inflation hits?
It's a great question.
So what does this all mean?
Well, it comes down to the mechanics of how high inflation inherently eats away at fixed income returns. When you hold a traditional bond, you lock in a set return, let's say 4%.
Right.
But if inflation is running at 5%, your safe bond is technically losing you money in terms of real purchasing power. Oh. It creates massive volatility in the bond market.
Because it's mathematically eroding your wealth every single day.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this precise vulnerability is what is forcing investors to seek alternatives to balance their portfolios. The sedan is sputtering because the cost of fuel is outpacing the engine.
I love that.
Yeah.
So since the traditional assets are taking hits from 2025's inflation, we need to examine exactly how alternative investments act as a shield.
They behave completely differently from stocks and bonds. They don't just blindly follow the stock market trends.
So they act as a cushion during market swings.
Yes. Assets like real estate or infrastructure are highly likely to grow or at least retain their value during inflationary periods, because their fundamental value is often directly linked to the inflation itself.
Right, like rent goes up when inflation goes up. But actually, wait, I caught a contradiction in the source text here, and I really want to bring it up.
Oh, really? What was it?
Yeah, so early on in the analysis, it listed commodities as a traditional investment. But then later in the text, it praises commodities as an alternative investment for inflation protection.
Yes.
Can you untangle this for the listener? I mean, which is it, traditional or alternative?
It's an eagle-eyed observation, and the nuance there is entirely about the vehicle of access. Commodities can absolutely be traded traditionally via public markets.
Like buying an ETF for gold or oil.
Exactly. That's highly regulated and liquid, making it traditional. But they act as alternative hedges because the underlying value of the physical asset, the actual barrel of oil or the physical timber, behaves differently than corporate stocks.
I see.
A timber forest doesn't care about a bad quarterly earnings report from a tech company. So when people want that true inflation shield, they often seek direct private exposure to the physical assets.
Which takes it off the public exchange.
Right. And you have to remember that to get this inflation shield, you must accept the trade-offs. You are getting potentially less liquidity, and you need greater investor involvement.
Which perfectly transitions us to the practical application. Now that we understand the problem with traditional assets and the benefits of alternatives, how does an everyday listener actually build this modern portfolio?
Well, it's definitely not about picking one over the other.
Right. You don't need to have millions of dollars to do this anymore, but you also shouldn't dump all your stocks. It's about blending the two worlds.
Exactly. Traditional assets must remain the backbone, the foundation of the portfolio. They provide that essential liquidity.
While alternatives add a layer of protection and boost the returns, the text outright lays out a 2025 blueprint for this.
Yes. It suggests stocks and ETFs for growth, plus bonds and savings for stability.
And then blending in real estate and private equity for long-term returns, plus commodities and inflation-linked assets for resilience.
That's the modern balance. But access and innovation are key here. Historically, alternative markets had incredibly high costs and huge initial investment requirements.
Like $10 million just to get in the room.
Exactly. But now the technology has changed the landscape.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The text specifically highlights platforms like Usul Gamma that are democratizing this, specifically in the Saudi context.
Yes, the innovation in the kingdom right now is remarkable.
It really is. It allows everyday and younger investors to buy fractional ownership in real estate at affordable prices. You can buy a fraction of a commercial high-rise.
Which removes the massive capital requirements that used to lock people out.
But to relate it directly to you, the listener, the text frames this around three crucial self-reflection questions before you jump in. First, what is your investment horizon? Second, how much risk are you comfortable with? And third, what level of involvement do you want?
Those questions are vital because even with fractional platforms, you are still dealing with illiquid underlying assets. You have to be psychologically wired for that.
You can't just panic sell skyscraper on a Tuesday.
No, you cannot. But the generational shift mentioned in the FAQs of the source is fascinating. Younger investors in the kingdom are driving this popularity.
Because they realize the traditional sedan isn't going to outrun inflation?
Exactly. Platforms like Usul Gamma remove the traditional barriers to entry, the opaque pricing, the massive capital walls allowing them to step into the sports car incrementally.
It's an incredible evolution. So to briefly summarize the journey we've taken today, traditional investments give you structure and liquidity. They are your foundation.
Right.
While alternative investments offer a hedge against economic shocks and boost your potential returns.
The ultimate goal is thoughtful diversification that is perfectly tailored to your personal timeline and your specific risk appetite.
Exactly.
You know, this raises an important question, though, a final thought to consider.
Oh, lay it on us.
If new platforms are successfully breaking down the barriers to alternative investments, you know, making things like real estate easy to buy in fractions and trade quickly, will alternative investments eventually just become the new traditional investments?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, what happens to the market when everyone has the keys to the flashy sports car? Does it lose its edge?
That is an amazing thought to mull over. If the exclusivity is gone, maybe the unique returns vanish with it. We will definitely have to watch that space.
Yeah.
But for now, we want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep asking questions, keep exploring your financial options, and really evaluate the mechanics of your own portfolio. Until next time.